Dear friends, we meet again today to continue our study on the trumpets. I would like to invite you now to consider the first four trumpets. We will see that the three following ones are a bit of a different nature. So, I suggest we simply read the first four trumpets. We find them in the chapter 8 as from verse 7. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. The second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. This succession of catastrophic events recalls and echoes what we'll find, and with more serious effects, in chapter 16. I invite you to read in chapter 16 what will happen with the bowls. You will find the same impact on earth, the sea, rivers and springs of water, and the stars. Let's look at this text, Revelation chapter 16, verse 2. So the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon the man who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. I shall immediately read verse 8 about the fourth bowl. Revelation 16, 8-9. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory. You've probably noticed the same sequence. First trumpet falls on the earth. First bowl, the plague, falls on the earth. Second trumpet on the sea. Second bowl on the sea. Third trumpet on the rivers and on the springs of water. Third bowl on the rivers and the springs of water. Fourth trumpet on the sun, moon and stars. Fourth bowl, sun, that is the sky. So, here we notice a very interesting succession in the structure, making the bowls and the trumpets echo each other. However, still, some small differences to be noted. First difference, the trumpets affect a third of the planet. The bowls affect the entire planet. Now we can also say that these plagues are not all of the same kind. There are some slight changes, but the point of impact is the same, and this seems to be extremely important. Besides this echo between the trumpets and the bowls, I would also like to highlight a third echo. We find this third echo in chapter 14, the first message. I invite you to read this first message with me. the message of the first angel in chapter 14, verses 6 and 7. Let's read it together. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea, the springs of water." This message prompts us to worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the spring of water, the same four elements again. Obviously, the key message is about the judgment. Fear God and give Him glory, for the hour of His judgment has come. But notice the second part of the message. Worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water. So this message invites us to worship God the Creator. Now, what we are experiencing nowadays, what the trumpets tell us, what the bowls tell us, is that God's creation is being spoiled. Indeed, we can understand differently this succession of four elements. Him who made the heaven and earth, the sea and the spring of water. So, the trumpets will seriously affect these four elements. The bowls will bring harm to these four elements. Consequently, this simple structure, this simple echo, allows us to say that the first four trumpets speak of the degradation of our planet, that speak of ecology. And in turn, we are compelled to see that in the first message, there is an ecological side. Worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water that are being destroyed, or that man is destroying. At that moment, the message on the judgment makes sense. So let me illustrate this with a chart. First trumpet, the earth. First bowl, the earth. Second trumpet, the sea. Second bowl, same. Third trumpet, the springs of water and rivers. Likewise for the third bowl. And fourth trumpet, the celestial lights. Same for the fourth bowl. Consequently, there is a literal parallelism that we cannot ignore. Now, let me give you another element in the book of Revelation, showing that it is actually ecological events that are concerned. When we come to the seventh trumpet, which is a sort of conclusion of all the trumpets, the elders who are gathered together make an interesting statement. They say, "The nations were angry, wrath has come, the time has come to judge the dead." Let's read this text together in chapter 11, verse 18. Revelation 11, 18. "The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth." I do not know what meaning this sentence could have for John. "It is time to destroy those who destroy the earth." What I can say is that today it makes sense. The trumpets tell us about ecology. They speak about this earth that is being destroyed. And they tell us that God cannot be blamed for this destruction, but solely men. It is time to destroy those who destroy the earth. This means that man is trying to program his own destruction. Isn't it there a form of self-judgment? In destroying the planet Earth, man is in the process of passing judgment on himself. Wouldn't it be one aspect of God's judgment to ensure that it is our own actions that condemn us? This is at least what we can understand through this verse. So, once we have seen this point, I would like us to understand what could be the meaning of these events. I would like to point out some aspects of this message that will be preached in chapter 14. Who preaches this message? Who preaches the three messages of Revelation 14? You have only to look at what is written just before. Just before, there are the 144,000. These are the 44,000 who will have to preach these three messages. Definitely, they have already been preached. But have they been preached to the whole earth? Have they penetrated all minds? Certainly not. And I think the highlight of these messages is yet to come rather than in the past. I go a little further. We have seen in our previous presentation that God was preparing a people, the 144,000 or the great multitude, during the time of the trumpets. Isn't it normal that their first message be related to the trumpets? They have been prepared for that. So, when these ecological disasters occur, naturally the first message gives sense to what's happening. Fear God and give glory to Him. And worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water that you men are destroying. If you reverence your God, you would probably not destroy them that way. I would like to add an interesting element. Designating God as the one who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water, is something quite unusual. It is unique in the whole Word of God. Throughout the whole Word of God, God is presented as the one who rules over heaven and earth and who created heaven and earth. But only one text says that He created heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water. So, let's have a look at these texts. Let's go to Genesis chapter 14, verse 22. But Abraham said to the king of Solomon, I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth. This is the word of Abraham to the king of Sodom. The Lord is the Lord of heaven and earth. And we find the same idea in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 39. Moses addresses the people and says, Therefore, know this day and consider it in your heart that the Lord Himself is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. There is no other. Now that we have seen these texts, and there are many more presenting God as the master of the creator of heaven and earth, I want to turn to a text showing God as the creator of heaven and earth and of the sea. We find it in Revelation chapter 10. The angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be delay no longer. This verse in the very book of Revelation portrays us a God creator of heaven and earth and the sea. We cannot imagine that this refers to anything other than our ecosystem. However, there is an additional element in the text about the bowls, the trumpets, and in the first message of chapter 14, the springs of water. Do you know that water is certainly the next major problem of our planet? It is clear that much of the population does not have access to safe drinking water. Some countries overflow with it, but others do not have enough of it. And it is expected that in the so-called industrialized countries, one will face a shortage of drinking water. Indeed, the missing word springs of water is the first indication of the coming major problem. It's already a warning. Yet, I would like to draw your attention to another element. One may wonder, what is the meaning of these messages? Indeed, disasters will happen. But what can be the message of comfort given by the 144,000, those who will have to preach these messages? What may be the message of comfort against these looming disasters? For this purpose, I would like to turn again to a text we have already read in Revelation 7. Let's go back to the time when the 144 were sealed. I read from verse 1, Revelation 7, 1. After these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or any tree. God is not presented as the one who punishes. He is presented as the one holding. In other words, God does not intervene. The events will be even more serious than what they are now. So you see, God appears as the one who holds the winds, as the one who tempers things, and we may wonder why he tempers them. For fairly specific reasons. The fact is that men are not prepared for the coming events, and he is long-suffering towards us, says the Apostle Peter. He is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This is the effect of God's patience. In order to help people become aware of these things, become aware of salvation, realize that their own path leads them to their destruction, that their sin leads them to death. The wages of sin is death. So, in order for them to become aware, God has prepared a people. Aren't you moved by this patience of God? I think we need to understand this. We must accept the idea that God is not the author of disasters. He slows them down. He has even established and prepared a people for that purpose. So, what shall we do? Shall we be among those who accuse? Remember, Jesus said it. At one time, Pilate had Galileans killed. He killed them while they were offering sacrifices. Then he reported this event and he said, "Do you think that these Galileans were greater sinners than the others?" Certainly not. He recalls another recent event. The Tower of Siloam had collapsed recently. It fell on 18 people and killed them. Do you think, Jesus says, that these people were worse sinners than the others? Certainly not. So there could be no connection between the events that happen and the fate of people. This is not exactly what Jesus said. The fact that a disaster happens to someone does not allow anybody to judge. It does not allow to conclude that he is a sinner. On the other hand, the second part of his speech is interesting. He says, "Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Whenever a disaster strikes someone, this does not allow us to judge him, but it is an opportunity to judge ourselves, to know where we stand. And this is probably the objective the 144,000 should pursue, to challenge each and every one during those events. If we do not repent, we will all perish as well. Do you see God's patience? Not accusing but examining ourselves. In front of the events ahead, this is what we are called to do, to examine ourselves. Thank you.